sermon as last month when I preached on Satan's strategies. But I wanted to kind of continue this in a little bit of a series on Satan's strategies. Last month, we discussed how Satan uses our struggles. He uses our struggles as one of his devices, as one of his strategies to keep us from growing spiritually, to keep us from doing his work, to make us lose our focus and to get lost from his flock. We read from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, and we read that lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We need to realize who Satan is. We need to realize that he has a plan. He has his own scheme, and he is trying to seek whom he may devour. We mentioned that, and Brother James mentioned that. I mentioned this last month too. This morning we have to be sober. We have to be watchful and vigilant because he is an adversary. He is an enemy. And that enemy we know is the devil. And he is like this lion who is walking about. He's seeking whom he may devour. So his plan, his scheme is to devour us. That's what he wants to do. That's his goal is to devour us. Do we let him? Tonight I want to talk to you about another scheme that I want to suggest to you. And his other strategy that he uses to try to devour us is that feeling of being insignificant. Insignificance. When we feel and insignificance, when we have that feeling of being too small. When you have a feeling of, you know, I'm unimportant to even be worth considered. I just have this feeling of just being meaningless. And no one will know if I'm here. No one really cares if I'm here. I'm really not important. That important to the church. That's what Satan wants us to think. That's what he wants us to have in our minds. And you know, I ask you this and ask myself this: Why would he use this? Why would Satan make us feel that way? Why would Satan even have us to think that we aren't important? It doesn't matter if I really go. It doesn't matter if I work. It doesn't matter if I sing. It doesn't matter if I teach class. It doesn't matter if I do this. Someone else is going to do it. You see, the smaller you feel, the likelihood you're going to make excuses. The smaller you feel, the more insignificant that you feel, it's easier for Satan to devour you. When we feel insignificant, we are more likely to do little or to do nothing. And when we're doing little or nothing, then Satan's agenda is being completely fulfilled. You know, at certain times in our life, certain times in your life, certain times in mine, I'm sure that you have had this feeling maybe of being insignificant, that you've had this feeling of being useless maybe in the work of the Lord. You're surrounded maybe by people with greater talent than ours. You are sometimes we're tempted in our own weak moments let's just settle back and let somebody else do the work. We reason that when we have what we have to offer won't really make much of a difference anyway. We forget the truth that is suggested in God's Word, and when we look and we turn our Bibles to John chapter 6. And we can see here that in John chapter 6, Jesus has went over to the Sea of Galilee. And here he is which is by the Sea of Tiberias, and there's this great multitude in John chapter 6, and this multitude is following him, and they see his miracles that he's done, and the people who are diseased. And Jesus goes up to the mountain, and he's sitting there with his disciples, and the Passover, the Feast of the Jews, it was coming near. And Jesus lifts up his eyes and he sees this great company, this multitude that has followed him. And he says to Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now, he said to prove him. Because he already knew what he was going to do. But he's talking to him and he says, and Philip says, well, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them. That everyone that may take a little. Philip's going, I only got 200. I only have this little amount of money. It's not going to buy enough food to feed all these people. But one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, he says, you know, there's a lad, there's a young boy, and he has 5 barley loaves, and he has 2 small fish. But what are they? Again, you have one of the apostles thinking, this is insignificant. 5 loaves, 2 fish, what is that? Insignificant. It's not really worth anything. It's useless, right? That's what they're thinking. But Jesus said, you make the men sit down. Now, there's much grass in this place, so the men sat down. They said a number of 5,000. 5,000 people. 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, everybody's just had Thanksgiving. You're about to have Christmas. And when you have a big group over, 5 loaves and 2 fish, I will not feed the tailors, I can tell you that. Here they are. You sit them down. Here they go. He takes the loaves, he gives thanks, he distributes to them. They sit down, he distributes the food out. He says, now when it's all finished, you take it back up. We don't want anything to be lost. So he does. Therefore they gathered them together, and they filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above that which they had eaten. And he says, the men, when they seen the miracle Jesus did, they said, this is of a truth the prophet that should come into the world. They saw something. They saw something that was small be used for something great. To the apostles, 5 loaves and 2 fish seemed very insignificant. But as we can see, and as you and I know, that when Jesus has a hand in it, the small is made great. Each and every one of us who consider ourselves to be insignificant, we're just useless. Someone else is better than me. They can do that. Someone else with more talent can do this. Don't listen to the lies of Satan. Listen to the voice of our Savior. Listen to when He says in Matthew 10, verses 29, when He talks about our worth, when He talks about how we are valued, He says in Matthew 10, starting in verse 29, and are not the 2 sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? There's not even going to be something, a bird to die that God is not going to know about. He says the very number of hairs on your head, all their number, He knows how many are on every one of us. Some more so than the other, but He knows all of those. He says, you fear not, therefore, that you are of more value than sparrows. Each and every one of you in this building is valued by our Father. We all have something to offer. We all have something important to offer the Lord in His service. But you see, Satan says, you know what, you're just insignificant, don't worry about it. That's what hinders us from doing some of our work. We see Psalms 139, verse 14. He says, I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. What are we going to do? He says, we're going to praise Him. We're going to praise our Father, because He says we are all fearfully and wonderfully made. He made us. He made each of us to do His work. We're often deceived, though, aren't we? Satan deceives us, and we choose sometimes to use that excuse of feeling insignificant, letting someone else do the work. There's a story of a conductor named Sir Michael Costa, and Sir Michael, he's conducting a rehearsal with the orchestra, and they were joined by a great chorus. Well, about halfway through the session, the trumpets are blaring, the drums are rolling, the violins are singing their melody. And the piccolo player, the piccolo, if you don't know what a piccolo is, it's the very small one. It's the very small instrument there. I think the other one's the flute, so it's smaller than that. So here he is. He's, what good am I doing? What good am I doing? I just as well not even be playing. Nobody can hear me anyway. So he puts the instrument to his mouth. but he makes no sound. So within moments, the conductor says, "Stop, stop, stop. Where's the piccolo?" You see, it was missed. It was missed by the ear of the most important person of all. It was missed by the conductor. When we don't use our talent, when we feel insignificant and we close down, we miss. God is saying, "Where's the piccolo?" He's saying, "Where's my servant? Where is the one who says that they love me and that they're going to follow me and that they're going to live for me? The one that says that they're going to remain faithful? The one that says that they are going to go to heaven?" But yet they're holding back because they feel like they are insignificant. The same way, that's what we do with our abilities. Whether our talent is great or whether it's small, the performance is not complete until we do our best with what we have. You see, the master, he needs what you have to offer. No matter if you think it's small, his work on earth is done through his children. So give him your best, he says. Give him your all. You see, in God's eyes, it's a great thing to do a little thing well. In God's eyes, it's a great thing to do a little thing well. So when we start feeling insignificant, we need to realize the way. We need to realize the truth. We need to realize who is life and also who gives it. We need to remember Jesus. And what did he say? In John 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." We need to realize the one who gave himself for us. We are significant. When you start feeling like, someone else can do it. No, he wants you to do it. He wants me to do it. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." He has thoughts of peace for all of us. He wants us to get that expected end. He wants each and every one of us to get the goal, to receive the prize. When talking to Israel, again, what did he say to Isaiah 43, and through Isaiah 43, verse 1? "But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, the thief, he's formed you, O Israel. Fear not, I have redeemed thee." Even Israel, he said, "I have redeemed you." Each and every one of us who are Christians, what did he do? He redeemed us. Through who? Through His Son, Jesus. In John chapter 6, 37 through 39, it says, "All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out." You see how significant we are? When we go to Him, He says, "I'm not going to cast you out." When we are following Him, He is there with us to take care of us. He says, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will that sent me." What was the Father's will? "That of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but shall raise it up again at the last day." What's he going to do? We talked about resurrection this morning. He's going to come back and he's going to take all that are his. You are significant. Exactly how significant are you, though? How significant is each and every one in this room? You're bought with a price. Each and every one of us who are Christians, we were bought with a price. What was that price? What was the price? What is the price of each and every one of you here? Our price is exactly the same. Our price was the body of Jesus Christ. It was the sacrifice of the only Son of Jesus, of the only Son of God. It was the sacrifice of our Savior. That is the price of each and every one of us. We all cost the same. There's no one more significant or insignificant than anyone else. We're all the same. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but He's long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." When we are in Him, He has given us a promise, and He's not lazy when it comes to His promises. What He promised to the people on this side, He promised to the people here. What He promised to you back there in the back, He promised to the same ones over here in the back. And that promise is that I'm going to be long-suffering. I don't want not one person in this building to perish. I want everybody in this room that if they need repentance, I want them to come to repentance. That's how significant you are. That's how significant we all are. I used this illustration last time. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were thrown. You know, so when we're thrown into that fiery furnace of worthlessness, when we're thrown into that furnace of feeling unimportant, when we're thrown into that furnace of feeling insignificant, we got to remember these guys. Because when you stand for God, He's not going to leave you alone. He's going to let you know that you are valued. You have worth. Now, it may be, though, sometimes we do feel valued. But sometimes we struggle with, well, where do I fit in then? If we all have the same value, but where do I actually fit in? You know, what can I do? Or, you know, how can I make a significance? Well, we can turn again to Ephesians chapter 4. We can look at when Paul is telling that some of them were given apostles, some were prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He starts listing some jobs of people, things that they do. Well, not everybody can be an apostle, not everybody can be a prophet, not everybody can be an evangelist, not everybody can be a pastor, not everybody can be a teacher of the abilities that He gives us. But those abilities and those specific people mentioned, what was it for? It was for the perfecting of the saints. It was for the work of the ministry. It was for the edifying of the body of Christ. Can everybody in this room edify? Can everybody in this room build someone else up? Yes, you can. You are significant to the work of the Lord. You are significant to O'Neill Church of Christ. What about the next three verses? That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried away with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even to Christ. From whom the whole body fits joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Can everybody in this room speak the truth in love? Yes, you can. Yes, I can. I may not be a teacher, I may not be an evangelist, I may not be an elder, I may not be a deacon, I may not have some title. But I can edify, and I can speak in love. And let me tell you this, when you do those things, you're going to help this church grow. And not only are you helping this church grow, if this church is growing spiritually, the Lord's church is growing spiritually. Can you help others? Can you help others who are sick? Paul, in Romans chapter 16, and there's going to be a lot of names I can't even pronounce, but he starts listing all these people's names in Romans chapter 16. He commends these individuals. Some names he mentions, some that he doesn't. It's not going to be a Noah. It's not going to be an Abraham. It's not going to be some famous name that you know. But look in Romans chapter 16. I commended to you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church. He says, tells them that you assist her in whatever business she has with you. Can you be a servant of the church? Can you be a Phoebe? Yes, you can. Can you be a Priscilla and Aquila, who says, were my helpers in Christ Jesus? Can you help others? Can you help your brothers? Can you help your sisters? Yes, you can. Here's one of those names that I'll attempt it, but I don't know if I'm going to get it right. Epaphroditus, however you say that. Can you be someone like that person? Can you be someone who is well-beloved? Can you be someone who is sincerely respected? Not only among people in this building, can you be someone who is sincerely respected outside of this building and into the world? Yes, you can. Can you be a Mary, Greek Mary, which bestowed much labor on us? Can you be someone who is a worker for the Lord? Can you be a Mary? Yes, you can. Can you be an Adronicus, a Junia, an Amplius, an Urbane, a Stachus? Again, I probably butchered those names. Can you be someone who is a kinsman? Can you be someone who helps further Christ? Can you be someone who is beloved in the Lord? Can you be a helper in Christ? Yes, you can. Can you be a saint? Can you be as Rufus? He was someone who was chosen in the Lord. Can you be like his mother? Someone who was chosen by the Lord. Look at these other names. Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermes, the brethren which are with them. Salute Philagus, Julia, Nereus, his sister, and Olympias, and all the saints which are with them. Can you be someone like that? Can you be a saint? Can you be a Christian? Can you be like Timothy, who is my work fellow? Lucius, Jason, Sosipater, my kinsman, salute you. Tertius, who wrote the epistle, salute you. Gaius, my host, the whole church salutes you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, salutes you. Cordus, a brother. Can you be a brother and sister in Christ who is a worker for the Lord? Can you have significance in the work of the church? Yes, you can. Just like these individuals, we can all be a Christian. And that is the best name to have. I had all, be this person, be that person, be this person, be that person. Al had this lesson one time and talked about Frank Kyle. Can we be a Frank Kyle? Can we be a Lucille Craig who was just friendly with everyone? Can we be, insert your name, insert my name, can you have a significance in the work of God? Yes, you can. We can all be an example of what God expects us to be. We can all treat others with kindness and compassion. We can all be a faithful child of God, one who knows our value, because our value is the same as the body of Christ. God has set the value. Satan is the one who tries to devalue it. Like I said before, he wants us to feel insignificant. He wants us to feel small. He wants us to feel unimportant. He wants us to feel meaningless. But we have to remember that even with things that we think are meaningless, he can make great. Think about Gideon. He says he was from the weakest clan of Manasseh, or the poorest clan. When God said, I want you to go save Israel. Well, I'm from the poorest clan, and I'm the least in my family. Well, then when he finally decides to go and got, you know, he had 32,000 men, that's too many. So we have 22,000 that leave. He's left with 10,000. That's still too many. 9,700 more leave. He's left with 300. He's given they're given torches, a jar, and a trumpet. And he says, now you go take care of the 135,000 Midianites who are there waiting. You take care of those. What a story. One in which God uses people who feel that they are insignificant. He arms them with insignificant weapons. Yet the Lord makes a significant statement to those who oppose His people and to us as children of God that all things are possible because we have value when we follow after Jesus Christ. When we're God's child, we have value. We have worth. We can make a difference. We're all a work in progress. I said that last time, but I'll say it again. Matt is a work in progress. We can be significant. We can edify. We can solve problems. We can build relationships. We can do what's right. Because being significant isn't about accomplishments. It's about relationships. And the best relationship to have is that relationship with Jesus Christ. You have that relationship tonight? Tonight, do you feel insignificant? Don't fall for the strategies of Satan. That's what he wants. You know, I can't help but think about the men and the women in the time of and the days of Noah. Noah is preaching to them. They had to think he has lost his mind. And he starts building this big huge ark. What on earth is he doing? It's going to rain? What do you mean? They took him as being insignificant. You know, I just can't help but to wonder when it started raining. And the rain fell upon their face, and they felt that rain. I wonder what they thought. When the water got knee deep, I wonder if they thought, well, what he was teaching was significant. When it got waist deep, I wonder what they thought. When the water got up to their necks, what were they thinking then? When are we going to get serious about our service to God? When are we going to get serious about not listening and following after Satan's excuses? Tonight, think about this. Was the sacrifice of Jesus significant? If it was, and you have sin in your life, you know what you need to do. If you're not a Christian, there's no better time than right now. Do so as we stand and as we sing.